you have your order of service. And in that order of service is an outline of our sermon today. We usually don't do it this way, a little different. And so I'm going to share some introductory comments, and that'll lead us into the reading of the day. Today we enter the fifth and final chapter of what we're calling the God story. And for about 30 weeks so far, we've been moving through this big arc of what we're calling the God story, attempting to get a big picture of how God moves, how God has moved, and how God will continue to move through us as the people of God and through this living story of God that is not yet done. And so, if you remember, the first and second chapters of the God story are creation and fall. And those get done in like the first few pages of your Bible. Creation happens, fall happens. And then chapter 3 was the chapter of Israel, where for about 13 or 14 weeks, we talked about this people of God, this chosen generation, chosen by God to be a blessing to the ends of the earth. And we read that Israel sometimes really got it, but sometimes they blew it. And near the end of Israel's story or chapter, they were falling short. And so that led us into the chapter Jesus. God keeps on keeping his promises to his people. And so we read through the stories of Jesus that this son of David will lead Israel. And in Jesus is the new Moses, the new Exodus, this new movement from death to life. And so then 2 weeks ago on Easter Sunday, that culminated in Resurrection Sunday, where the new Moses, the new Exodus, was complete. This Jesus who had died this grisly death was risen. And we said a couple of weeks ago that this Jesus is on the move. And so the Jesus story continues. And so this leads us into the fifth chapter of the God story called the NPOG, or the new people of God. And so what's so new about this new people of God? It's Jesus, that this living Jesus who has risen from the dead now has a job for the people of God of the past and has empowered them with the Spirit to be the new people of God. Eugene Peterson, one of my favorite biblical writers, puts it this way: God wants the victory of Jesus to spread to all the nations of the world. God is gathering a people from all around the world and forming them into his church. And we read in Acts chapter 1, the text or the book that we start today, "You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth." Peterson also says the mission of the church is to proclaim and live out the liberating message of the good news of Christ's kingdom. And we're invited into that message. It's not enough for us just to say, "Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Rah, rah, rah. Jesus won. Yay." God has a destiny, a purpose for us that continues from Israel to be a blessing to the ends of the earth. And so we're sent out. We're sent out to be this people of blessing, this people of mercy, this people of grace. And so today we enter into the new people of God chapter of the God story. And so we have this huge chunk of text, Acts 6, verse 1, all the way to Acts 8, verse 3. And this is one of the longest sermons, the longest speeches in the New Testament, written, given by Stephen, and it's so fitting because it's Stephen's version of the God story. So hear now the word of God.
When the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said,
it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word.
This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Also, Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. They presented them to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. So the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from members of the synagogue of freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say,
"We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God."
So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified,
"This fellow never stops speaking against the Holy Spirit and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us."
All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Then the high priest asked Stephen,
"Are these charges true?"
To this, he replied,
"Brothers and fathers, listen to me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran. Leave your country and your people, God said, and go to the land I will show you. So he left the land of the Chaldeans and settled in Haran. After the death of his father, God sent him to this land where you are now living. He gave him no inheritance here, not even enough ground to set his foot on. But God promised him that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God spoke to him in this way, 'For 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves,' God said, 'and afterward they will come out of that country and worship me in this place.' Then he gave Abraham the covenant of circumcision, and Abraham became the father of Isaac and circumcised him 8 days after his birth. Later, Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. Because the patriarchs were jealous of Joseph, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. But God was with him and rescued him from all his troubles. He gave Joseph wisdom and enabled him to gain the goodwill of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Pharaoh made him ruler over Egypt and all his palace. Then a famine struck all Egypt and Canaan, bringing great suffering, and our people could not find food. When Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our ancestors on their first visit. On their second visit, Joseph told his brothers who he was, and Pharaoh learned about Joseph's family. After this, Joseph sent for his father Jacob and his whole family, 75 in all. Then Jacob went down to Egypt, where he and our ancestors died. Their bodies were brought back to Shechem and placed in the tomb that Abraham had bought from the sons of Hamor at Shechem for a certain sum of money. As the time drew near for God to fulfill his promise to Abraham, the number of our people in Egypt had greatly increased. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came into power in Egypt. He dealt treacherously with our people and oppressed our ancestors by forcing them to throw out their newborn babies so that they would die. At that time, Moses was born, and he was no ordinary child. For 3 months, he was cared for in his parents' home. When he was placed outside, Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the flames of a burning bush in the desert near Mount Sinai. When he saw this, he was amazed at the sight. As he went over to get a closer look, he heard the Lord say, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Moses trembled with fear and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have indeed seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I've heard their groaning and have come down to set them free. Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." This is the same Moses they had rejected with the words, "Who made you ruler and judge?" He was sent to be their ruler and deliverer by God himself through the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out of Egypt, performed wonders and signs in Egypt, at the Red Sea, and for 40 years in the wilderness. This is the Moses who told the Israelites, "God will send you a prophet like me from your own people."